The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, I promised we'd return to the issue of the queues at Dublin Airport and the chaos that went with the queues at Dublin Airport. I'm joined by Kieran O'Donnell, who is chair of the Oireachtas Transport Committee and a TD for Fine Gael. Kieran, the level of political oversight here, to what extent has Dublin Airport's feet been held to the fire since the first of these instances happened? Because the events over the last couple of days has not been the first time that we have seen this kind of chaos.
Well, this first arose some time back on the 28th of March, where there was huge queues and people missed flights through Dublin Airport. Both ministers, Minister Hildegard Nocton and Minister Eamon Ryan, followed up with the DA. We as a committee, the Transport Committee, visited the DA on the 4th of April. And following from that, they put in a five-point action plan. And when the Easter bank holiday weekend, there wasn't an issue. It was 50,000, the same number of passengers that went through per day just this weekend gone. And it was down to 40 minutes for passengers to get through. So, whereas the same set of circumstances this weekend just gone, and yet there was utter chaos. So, you know, I think that we've been very much keeping focus on the DA, but ultimately the DA are the operators, the professional operators of Dublin Airport. And they have a lot of questions to answer. They have to be held accountable on this particular issue. And when you speak to people that went through Dublin Airport both Saturday and Sunday of this weekend gone, people miss flights both days. The DA have said it was only Sunday. I have many people around that missed their flights on Saturday.
But hang on for a minute, Kieran. On that topic of the accountability, the reality underpinning this is Dublin Airport is, in essence, an uncompeted with monopoly. So how do they get held to account? That the market's not going to do them. If the flight connection is through Dublin Airport, or if that's where the slot is, you're going to have to go through the airport. Well, nobody's going to get fired.
We as a committee, the Transport Committee, the DA are coming in before us on this Wednesday, the day after tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. and with Daunton Phillips and his senior management team to go through exactly what happened, but more particularly what solutions they're going to put in place for the June bank holiday weekend, which is now only 2 or 3 days into the future, with double the numbers going through, over 100,000 passengers per day, as distinct from 50 in the last weekend. And what measures, simple, straightforward measures, they're going to put in place. And when you hear from passengers, there appear to be no triaging of passengers in terms of who was flying sooner rather than later. There appeared to be utter chaos. If it was raining on the day on town outside, it would have been horrendous for people. As it was deeply distressing for them. And you have many people that enter and out of Ireland that are now at home who missed their holidays. And I want to, I suppose, we'll also be asking the DA what particular practical measures they'll be compensating people, how much they'll be compensating for, rather than just a general discussion.
But what explanation have they given you so far, Kieran?
The explanation is that they underestimated the throughput of passengers at a peak time on Sunday morning in particular. It was also on Saturday morning. And it was very simple on time. They didn't have enough security lanes opened in T1 and T2, and they didn't have enough staff on duty. It's as simple as that.
Now, can you just work this through for me? Because as I understand it, you're an accountant by training originally, aren't you?
I am.
Now, surely Dublin Airport has access to quite a lot of information. So they can look and they can say, well, there's all the flights going out, because airlines don't spring flights on them by surprise. They're booked. They're there. They're in the schedule. They know what's going to depart. And you can say, how many seats are on each of those flights? We know their load factors are probably around 90%. So we multiply one by the other. There's how many live humans are going to show up on Sunday morning. How can they get that wrong?
I don't know, Anton, because they would have known. They won't know exact details very far in advance. But for the 2 weeks up to the flights taking place, they would have details of the numbers of passengers going through on individual flights. The fact that we had a situation whereby we as a committee wrote to the DA last Wednesday asking for an update in respect of a range of measures, including passenger numbers. They wrote to us late on Friday saying that there was no worries, no reference at all to the weekend, saying that 94% of passengers were getting through in 45 minutes, 80% in 30 minutes. And then, lo and behold, we had a situation where they went, they gave an interview to the Irish Independent on the Saturday morning saying, no problems, everything will be fixed over the next couple of days. They were looking at 30 minutes in terms of being their target. And at the same time, we had chaos in T1 and T2. So the more immediate thing here at this stage is that what are they going to put in place in solutions for this forthcoming weekend? You have people waiting at home, anxious about being able to get their flights out, and it's unacceptable that this will continue. And then, more particularly then, into the summer period, where they will have 100,000 passengers probably going through on busy days. How are they going to deal with that?
And also to that, can I get your reaction to a suggestion that is the one that keeps coming in most often, or keeps coming in fairly regularly by Twitter or by text, however it is phrased. We have a defence forces that one of their formal mandates is aid to the civil power, which means any time the civil power in any function requires them within the bounds of the law, you can call on them to help. Surely at the point where you discover the largest airport in the country, which is an island nation and therefore that is the largest transport hub in the country, cannot process people in and out of its security, call in the lads whose job it is to be the aid to the civil power and get them to help. Why don't we just do that?
I think what we first have to look at is they're recruiting staff since October. They're saying they have 300 additional recruits. How many of those are on the ground? And they are coming forward with solutions tomorrow to the two ministers, and they'll be before us on Wednesday. I want to see practical solutions. The DAA were able to do it over the Easter bank holiday weekend. Why do we have a situation where absolutely out and over, we had Saturday and Sunday, and they speak about that Sunday was the issue. No, Saturday was equally the issue. Many people did not get their flights on Saturday. I had people onto me who were effectively, they spent four or five hours getting through the terminal, getting security check, and then they got down to the departure gate to find that plane was gone with no communication whatsoever. And, you know, this is really at the feet of management. What organisation methods are they going to put in place and solutions they're going to put in place that this coming weekend they deal with the passenger numbers? And we as a committee collectively, and we're a cross-party committee, Anton, in the Transport Committee, we collectively will be holding the DAA to account. Dalton Phillips and his senior management team will be in before us to ensure that this, certainly in the short term, the immediate short term, people will be able to get their flights, and then that they'll give us detailed plans on how they're going to deal with the situation.
I mean no respect by this, Kieran, but you use the phrase hold them to account. I mean, you can give out to them. But other than that, what capacity have you got to hold them to account?
We're elected by the people. We're a committee, and we are carrying out our duties. And one of our duties as a Transport Committee is the DAA falling under our remit. And we will be asking them, how did the situation arise? Where they wrote to us late on Friday, did a high-profile article with Kevin Cullinan, their media director, on Saturday, saying everything was fine. And at the same time, we had this utter chaos and shambolic situation in the DAA itself. I suppose, as a committee as well, on a wider question, if it does bring into sharp focus into the future, then we need to have more flights being into the regional airports like Shannon and Cork. That's for another day, but it's something I think has to come into sharp focus. It's something we've called for as a committee. And we're cross-party and we're geographically based, many in Dublin as well.
OK, I want to bring in Gary O'Hanlon, the chef, because Gary O'Hanlon, obviously one of the best chefs in the country, technically now not in the country anymore because he is working a lot of the time in a chateau in France, which means he is travelling back and forth through Dublin Airport the way a lot of people would use public transport for their commute. Gary, your experiences of Dublin Airport in recent days, does it match up to its French counterparts?
No, not at all, Anton. It had been going quite okay, I suppose, for the first few months of the season, probably coming from the beginning of March. I seemed to be on the same sort of travel pattern for about 6 or 7 weeks recently, like where I was nearly always flying out on a Sunday. And it's just sort of been getting progressively worse, really, when the timeline would have suggested by all the spokespeople that it was supposed to be getting better, you know. But probably the one thing for me where it really, really stands out, and was on Friday last, I flew in quite early. I don't think I even seen 10 people in Terminal 1, so I imagine it was one of the first flights in. And what really struck me was just how dirty the place was, you know, I suppose, namely the toilets, you know, like, I mean, like the first three or four cubicles, no seats, toilet roll all over the place. And I would have thought, God, you know, if ever there was a time that the place would be in good shape or good nick, like, would have been at that hour of the morning, like after overnight services or whatever. And, you know, this time I would have flown back via Orly. Quite often it's Charles de Gaulle, but Orly in particular, it's another airport outside. It's a bit closer to the Chateau, actually, so it's ideal for me if I'm coming through there. But the experience, I mean, not that anyone I would advise them to eat a dinner off a toilet floor, but you probably would take a chance in Paris Orly and be sure that it wouldn't kill you. You know what I mean? But the cleanliness, the freshness of the whole place. And then you arrive in Ireland and into Dublin Airport, and that's your first experience. And I suppose for me in hospitality, Anton, and you and I know each other a long time, and you know sort of the way how serious I take hospitality. But for me, something like a place like Dublin Airport holds massive significance, almost like an amuse-bouche or a petit four, and the tourism experience as you're coming into Ireland. And it's really, really just been getting worse and worse, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's been many, many arguments and talks about the food offering and the hospitality and the whole non-Irishness of the whole place. Like, the whole country's really missing a trick with Dublin Airport. But yeah, as far as facilities management's concerned as well, never mind getting through it, but it is an embarrassment. Well,
it's interesting you described the arrival experience, Gary, because that's also coming in from a lot of people who are listening. One saying, my daughter arrived from Canada today into Dublin Airport, had a 3-hour wait to get her bags unloaded. Another one reflecting what you've said. Dublin Airport is a mess. Not just queues for departing flights. On arriving, there were no taxis. Queuing for an hour to get a taxi at 1 a.m. is no fun either. And the state of the toilets, and a lot more along those lines. The one thing in their defence, Gary, you mentioned the hospitality industry. One of the things that is a characteristic of that industry and almost all retail and front-facing industry at the moment is it is almost impossible to get staff. And people will say that they try to get people who are qualified and willing to work in the hospitality industry and the frontline retail industry at the moment is extremely challenging. Would you have any sympathy for Dublin Airport in that setting? Because they've gone from effectively stone dead to on fire in a couple of months. That has to be a little bit tricky.
Oh, look, without a doubt. I mean, look, I had my first experience at Centre Parks, if you want a bit of a sort of comparison over this weekend. I mean, the amount of places that they sort of held off in reservations, you know, there was spaces there, you could sort of see it. But they've made a really wise decision in the sense that we don't want to flog the staff that we have, and we want everybody to have as good an experience. And it was unbelievable. I even sent the MD a message to say, you should try and run Dublin Airport, mate, because this is amazing. But again, here is the thing, though, and I don't know if it's just on the security end or if it's all the staff, but the DAA, it's been very, very open that, you know, they were crying the poor man and let go of an awful lot of people, probably in an arrogance way of, sure, we'll ring you in 8 or 9 months, maybe bring you back. I know from experience, and I know from an awful lot of friends in the hospitality sector, that, you know, some hotels took a big hit on the chin, and restaurants as well, held on to as many staff as they could. Now, if that meant executive chefs doing nighttime security and whatnot, that's what was done for the greater good. You know, like, this was more than likely a scenario whereby, let's just make a load of people redundant. Sure, they'll all come back to work. There was maybe a bit of resentment there or whatnot, but there certainly wasn't a strategic planning ahead. And it's, you know, they have egg in their face now, you know. So look, it is very tough in a lot of industries. But here's the other thing, all right? You chat about no lack of staff, but like last Sunday week, for example, I went through, whatever date it was, I can't remember now, but it was a Sunday anyway. Now, normally on that late evening flight, 7:30 flights or thereabouts, you'd be sailing through. Most of the carnage has already been and gone. Last Sunday, I said, you know what, I'll get the 4 o'clock game on News Talk off the ball, and last game of the season, that'll kill the journey. Got in. Thank God I did. Because normally I wouldn't be that early. And the flight, I would have missed the flight, but the flight was delayed 45 minutes, probably because there were so many people, you know, left behind. But when I did get through, after an hour and a half just to get through into the security line at the far side of the first check that you would have in T2, then there's one terminal open. There was four or five people standing beside the scanner. There was one dude standing out looking at the line, maybe trying to keep order. Everyone was keeping, you know, surely somebody at some stage makes the decision just open two security lines. I mean, there was probably enough people standing looking at a machine that probably cost a lot of money.
This is the thing that keeps coming in and a lot of comment on it. It's not just that there have been problems. It's that the problems are so unpredictable, because in some instances like that, you're getting experiences where you're waiting 3 or 4 hours. In others, people are saying, I slipped straight through like normal, everything was fine. So the unpredictability of it seems to be a huge challenge as well. Gary, hopefully it won't get in the way of you travelling back and forth. That is Chef Gary O'Hanlon. And before him, we had Kieran O'Donnell, who is chair of the Oireachtas Transport Committee. And we should say, of course, in defence of Dublin Airport, they are not alone, because if you look at the kind of abuse that Amsterdam Schiphol is getting, you are seeing almost identical scenes in Schiphol. And again, there's a similar pattern where there was a peak a while ago, then a trough, then another peak. That, of course, won't butter many parsnips with the people who are standing outside unable to get into the terminal building in Dublin Airport. Coming up, we'll be looking at the political diary with Fionnán Sheehan.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.